So this morning what we're going to do is we're going to talk about giving like Jesus. This last few weeks, this last few years, it feels like we're just giving all of the time. We're just give. And I don't want you to get hung up. We're not just talking about money this morning. That's a small part of our giving. There's so much more connected to our giving than our money. And if it is a big thing for you, then maybe God needs to touch your heart. But giving is so big. It's a giving of our time, giving of our, just even praying, just being there for people, giving of our hearts, giving of our love, giving of our grace, all the things that God has given us. Are we willing to give it away? Are we willing to be a blessing to the people around us? And you can see coming up over this next few weeks, we have so many opportunities to give, and we're giving and giving and giving. And you're like, what? There's only so much I can give. What am I supposed to do next? Where do you want me to give from? And this morning, I want to encourage us. We're going to look at some verses today that I hope are going to encourage our hearts, going to remind us of where our giving comes from, going to remind us of the purpose of our giving and why we give. Believe me on this, you're going to come out energized. You're going to come out alive. You're going to come out refreshed, knowing that you give from a different place than you think. So this morning, that's what we're going to do. We're going to read some verses together. The first one is this, Acts chapter 20, verse 35. We're going to read this one. This is Paul near the end of his ministry life. He's been serving the Lord well. He's been doing good things, and he's just going to finish off with a few final thoughts, and there's just one I want us to pick up on this morning. It says this in verse 35, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering that the words of Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, I know sometimes when we read those words, you're like, oh, I wish that wasn't even in there, because I love receiving. And what does it mean to give and be a blessing? Surely you can only be blessed by receiving. How can you give and be a blessing? Doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense until you marry it up with God and you remind yourself that everything that we have is a gift from God. Everything that we have is a blessing from him. And so just in the same way as he's extended those blessings into my life, he's called me to extend those blessings into other people's lives. And as Christians, the hallmark of our lives should be that we are people that give above and beyond in every way, in every facet of life. We were having our life groups this week, and Thomas came out with just an incredible thought, and he said this, we are just so different from everybody else. Not in a bad way, but in an incredible way, because we love when everybody else is like complaining. We extend grace when everybody else is saying, they're really bad, they should be this, it should be that. We go that extra mile when everybody else is just pulling back and not doing any miles at all. Because this is who we are as Christians. We give when it doesn't even make sense to give. We give when there's just no understanding or no need to give, because we just keep giving. We just keep giving. And where did we get this morning? We got it not only from these words, but Jesus is so much bigger than words. He is actions. And he proved it, because while we were yet sinners, God gave us his son. Jesus came. And so right from the outset, our God is a given God. And why is he a given God? Because give is wrapped up in love. And whenever we are formed in love, shaped in love, it's all about giving. Last night again, Aria decided she wanted to stay up. So what I have to do, I've got to give her my attention. I've got to give her my consciousness. I've got to give her my sleep, because I want to sleep instead of nursing her or spending time with her. But why do I do it? Because of love. And this morning, our giving must always come from a place of love, because if it comes from anywhere else, then it just wears us out. And we're like, why am I even doing this anyway? You know, that person doesn't even say thanks. They don't deserve it. And we start to go round and round and round the houses, because we start to try to figure out, is this giving worth it? But when our giving is based in love, giving is always worth it, because we give from a place of love. And this morning, I want to encourage our hearts that God said it is more blessed to give than receive, because we're given from a place of love. And when we think about what the Lord has done for us, what has he done? He's always been given right from the outset, right from the beginning, right to the end of our lives. He'll continue to give to us. When we get to heaven, he'll continue to give to us. He is just an amazing God. He gave us his son because we had no way to get to him. We had just no way. We were separated from him. Our sin had separated us. We couldn't get to him. And what did he do? I'm going to give you my son. I'm going to make a way. I'm going to give you love, because God just never switches off his love towards us. He never stops giving. He never stops giving. He never stops giving. And it sounds relentless this morning, but not when we base it in love, and not when we know where our source is, and our source is the Lord. And so this morning, church, I want to encourage us. We are people that just keep giving and giving and giving. And if you're waiting for a day that giving's going to stop, I've got good news for you, or maybe bad news. It's not. You just keep giving. We're called to just keep giving, but as we give, he keeps filling us up. He keeps giving us more. See the way it works? He gives, we give, we give, he gives. It's just incredible. It looks totally different from the world, but it's what the Lord has called us to be. It's the DNA of Jesus. All the way through the New Testament, we just see Jesus just giving. Give of his life, give of his time, give of the best of himself. Remember this, Jesus didn't just give, he gave the best of himself. He gave above and beyond. This is exactly what the Lord's trying to grab our attention with this morning. We love the story of feeding the 5,000, but what did the Lord say? The disciples said, hey, these people are hungry. We've got to send them away. And what does Jesus say? Jesus turns around to the disciples and he said, no, you give them something to eat. Because he's not prepared to send anybody away. He's prepared to stand in the gap, do without himself, at the expense of himself, for the benefit of everybody else. Because his giving is totally different than anybody else's giving. And he says this morning, if you want to have the purpose and the destiny and the plans fulfilled totally in your life of what God has for you to do, it's going to always revolve around giving. Giving everything you have to the kingdom of God. And he will extend you. And why do we give? Because we give from love. We mentioned already. God did it through his son. Jesus did it through his life. And he gave everything to us. And so my challenge this morning is right from the outset to our hearts is this. How major is giving in our lives? And again, don't just get hung up on money, although money's an important thing because the Lord has blessed us with everything that we have. And the Bible tells us where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. And so I've got to ask myself that question all of the time. Where's my treasure, Lord? Because that's where my heart is. And my heart wants to be found in you, Lord. So I don't want it to be in my bank account. I don't even want it to be in my kids. I don't want it to be in my job. I don't want it to be in anything else. I want it to be found in you first. And from that place, I'll extend it into everything else. Because you'll just keep giving to me. You'll just keep giving to me. But the Lord says this morning, what does our giving look like? How does our giving work? Is there a way that we can up our giving, not just in one area, but in all areas in the same way as Jesus did? And hopefully this morning, as we look through more verses, we're going to say, wow, God can sustain me through this. This is God's plan for my life, and he has called me to give in every way possible. Here's the giving dilemma, because I know we're already thinking about it straight away. The giving dilemma is this. It's like, but what if I give and I don't have enough for myself? You know, what if I give and the person doesn't even say thanks? Or maybe you get yourself in a predicament where school presents and you wonder, what did that person give us? Because we want to make sure that we give them the kind of same amount. You know, it's like a tit for tat giving. We just make sure this thing works out. Or what about when it comes to like weddings? Did they invite us to their wedding? Because if they did, we need to invite them to ours. You know, we want to make sure that our giving kind of works itself out. And if we're not careful, our giving starts to look like a deal. It's like, I only do giving when it's a good deal. And we're getting conditioned into this all of the time. And it's come from a financial sense and a financial source. And it's a good thing. Because when we go into finances and we go into savings, we want to make sure that we're investing our money wisely so we get a good return. But if we're not careful, what we do is we take that into every sphere of our lives. And so we say, well, you know what? I'll give them a lift to church because I think there's a good chance they're going to get saved. And then after a few weeks, not going to bother anymore. They're not looking like they're getting saved at all. You know, it's like, what? And I know none of us would think that, but I probably thought that before, so pray for me quickly. But maybe it's like something else. I'll do this for someone because I'm hoping to get a good deal out of it. I'm hoping I'll get a good return. You know, because I want to invest wisely of my time into this. And I'm not saying you don't use wisdom, but sometimes we have to just be like Jesus and we lay down our lives anyway because we know it's about love and it's about love for the people around us. And regardless if they accept me or not, I'm going to lay down my life anyway. What an incredible Jesus we serve. He laid down his life not because of what we were doing, in spite of what we were doing. He didn't lay down his life because we deserved it. He laid down his life because he loved us. And church, this morning, we've got to be careful that our giving doesn't get wrapped around, do they deserve it, do they not? Is it a good deal or is it not a good deal? Am I going to get a positive return from this thing? Is it going to benefit me or not? Here's the goodness of God. As we give to him, he is such a faithful God that he always returns even better than you can imagine. But it might look differently than you think. It may not just be directly A to B and B to A. It may not look like that. It may not look as you invest in that person that they automatically invest back into you. It may not be that at all. And in fact, what the Lord wants to show us this morning is we would give to that person, or we would give to this thing, or we would help out here, or we would help out there, that we wouldn't be looking for the return there. We would give it because of what the Lord has done for us. And so this morning as we give, it's not about a deal. It's not about returns. It's not about a wise investment. If the Lord was looking for a wise investment, you know what he would have done? Stayed in heaven. That was the best investment. Not to come to earth. Not to come to us. Because we know the thoughts that we have. And they're not very healthy most of the time. We know the ways that we go. We know the lack of our giving. We know the lack of our prayer life sometimes. We know the lack of our reading sometimes. So if it was about him getting a good deal, it was already over the second he left heaven. But he left because of love, because giving from love changes everything. And church, this morning I want to encourage you. We are going to give over this winter season, over this Christmas season. We're going to give. We're going to give without the looking with return at all. But we know this, that we're building something in the background. We're doing something that's unseen, and the Lord is working for us. And don't worry, it says that in the Bible, the arm of the Lord is not short. You may not see it immediately, but trust me, he's coming around for you in due season, at due time, at the right time, when you need it. But our goal for giving is not about getting good deals. Our goal for giving is love. And sometimes it looks like a waste, but my goodness, watch what the Lord will do in between that. I want to share how the Lord gives. It's totally different than us. God give. And when God gives, it's always good. Think about this morning. He gives us his love. He gives us his grace. He gives us his mercy. He gives us patience. Maybe somebody needs that this morning. I need that a lot of the times from the Lord. He gives us his forgiveness. That is incredible. That the Lord would give us his forgiveness. Wow. And then he honors that forgiveness. So he doesn't bring it up every 2 seconds. He doesn't bring it up every Christmas. He doesn't bring it up every birthday. He doesn't bring it up every time you fail or make a mistake. He honors his forgiveness towards you. That is amazing. Because he is a God based in love. And he's a God that's willing to keep on loving. He's not willing to shut that love down towards us in spite of what we would do, because it's more about him. And this is what he does. What does he take then? He takes the bad, in a sense. He takes our sin. He takes the worst of us. He knows our hearts. He knows what we think. He knows the attitudes that we carry. He takes the worst of us. And he still doesn't allow his love to diminish towards us. He loves us. He takes our pain, he takes our sorrow. Think about this morning. He takes your shame and he takes your rejection. And maybe you need to give that over to him more and more this morning, but that is what he takes. He takes all of that. Now think how different that is and how 180 that is from the way we are most of the time and the way the world is most of the time. We want to take the good stuff. We don't want to take the bad stuff. And we want to give away all of that stuff. We want to leave all of that bad stuff, but we definitely won't want to take it. But God says, I give you all the good stuff. I give, 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 and give me all your heavy burdens. I'll take back all your heavy burdens. I'll take all your sins. I'll take all your unforgiveness. I'll take all your shame, all your rejection. I'll carry all of that because I love you, because I love you, because I love you. And this morning, church, God is trying to grab our attention. He says this, I don't want there to be a massive difference between my giving and your giving. I want to every day bring you closer and closer and closer to my heart. I want you to be imitators. Hebrews tells us that our goal is to become imitators of Christ. That's not just writing it down and, you know, I carry my Bible and I want to look like a good imitator of Christ. That looks like I go and meet people. I pray for people. I go and help someone. I'm there for someone. I do this. I do that. It looks like something. Love has to look like something. Our giving has to look like something. There has to be a cost to giving. Remember this. There has to be a cost to giving. Otherwise, we're not really giving. What did Jesus do? He left everything in heaven to come to a broken world, to save a broken people. Now, what did it cost them? Everything. Everything. Church, this morning, I'm not saying that you're going to give and there's not going to be a cost. There will be a huge cost. And usually the way it works is the more that you give, the greater the cost. But again, with the Lord, it's different, because when we give from his strength, we give from his supply, we give from his heart, and as we would give away, he is faithful to keep giving back to us. Sometimes when it comes to giving, this is what we do. We look at what we have, and we say, but it's taken me a long time to get that. It's taken me a long time to have that money, or this time, or these feelings, or these emotions. It's taken me a long time to get to this good place. I'm not going to risk giving it away. I'm not going to risk giving it away. And if we're not careful, we start to get too safe and we lose our spirit-led kind of attitude and our spirit-led kind of lifestyle. And we shut down. And we just stay at home. We stay safe and we don't do things. And God says this morning, don't allow fear to overthrow you from the giving that God has planned for you. Because it may have taken a while to get that, but God's able to bring it back in a split second at the right time, at the right season. He is our restorer. He is our source. And we are not dead ends. We are outlets. And as we would outlet, God would inlet, and he would continue to fill us this morning. So we're given from God's strength. We're given from him. God is not there to take from us. God is not asking us to give from what we don't have. He's asking us to give from what we do have. And as we give from that, he is faithful to restore that over and over and over again. True giving is loving. It's coming from a place of love. And so what does our giving look like? That is the challenge this morning. What does our giving look like in every area? Please don't get fixed on one. In every area, what does that look like? And it's probably more than you think, because we're easily blindsided. We don't see a lot of the things because a lot of times we're self-focused on what we're going through. But God says, what about that person over there? What are they going over here? What are they going through there? And God's saying, I need you to see more. I need you to realize more. I need to start to give more in every area and every part of your life. And so I want us to think about a few different sources of our giving. There's a heart giving, which actually sounds pretty good. You know, I'm going to give from my heart. But here's the danger if it's just heart alone. This is what I'm going to do. I'm only going to give when I feel like it. You know, it's like, that really touched my heart. You know when we say that really touched my heart? That actually can't be a selfish thing. It can actually be a very isolating thing, a very kind of almost me thing. Because unless it touches my heart, then I'm not giving. It's like, that person really touched my heart. Maybe their story related to your story. And so then you come around them and go, that just really touched my heart. Now, there's nothing wrong with that statement, but we've got to be careful that we're not overly led by that. Otherwise, then, whoever doesn't touch our hearts, forget them. Not going to be there. Not going to give to them. Not going to have any time for them. Not going to do that. I'm so glad Jesus didn't do that. I'm so glad that we all touched his heart. I'm so glad that he made room for us in his heart. I know what you're thinking. We're not Jesus. But here's what he said. The same spirit that took me off the cross is the same spirit that lives in you. And in fact, you're going to do greater things than me. So he steps it up a notch and he says, don't worry, I've got that one covered. The Holy Spirit is inside of you. And he's able to do all things, but you've got to let him do it. So I don't want to be just heart-led. I don't want to be, does it give me butterflies? You know, whenever I got butterflies over that, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I don't want to be that, because otherwise when I don't have the butterflies, I don't do anything. It's just like, nobody giving to me. Is nobody helping me? Is nobody there for me? So I like the butterflies, and I like the heart feelings, and I like that it touched my heart, but I don't want to be just led by that. And I definitely don't want to be led because they're just my friends. Because I'm so grateful that Jesus said he called us friend. We didn't have to look to call him friend. He called us friend first. He loved us first, and then we were able to love him back. You see, as Christians, as people of God, as men and women of God, we have to be on the front foot, just like Jesus. I'm going to love first, and my love for them is going to cause them to love me back in return. But even if they don't, my love comes from the Lord. But that's the person I'm going to be. I'm going to be a person that gives in spite of the return or the deal or what it looks like on the table, because that's not what I'm after. I don't want a deal down here. I want blessing up from here. I want blessing from there. I want blessing to come down from above. And the Lord will do that, and the Lord will grant it to us. So you can give from your heart. Then, of course, you can give from your head. And again, there's nothing wrong with thinking, because God has blessed us with a powerful mind. The Bible tells us that we have the mind of Christ. But sometimes it's not just the mind of Christ, it's the mind of me. And so it's like we try to work it out. Well, that doesn't feel good. Or, you know, and then we take it up a notch. Like, doesn't make any sense. Just doesn't make any sense. You know, just doesn't make any sense. I've heard a lot of that statement along the way of vibe. And you know what I've repelled it with? God told us. It's God's idea. Now, don't worry about me. You just ask him. Take it up with him. Don't worry about me. It doesn't make any sense. There are a lot of things in the kingdom of God that don't make any sense, because they're not supposed to make earthly sense. It's supposed to make kingdom sense. And God is trying to get to past our minds. He's trying to bypass us sometimes in our thinking, because he knows that sometimes our thinking is not always spirit-led. It's not always Jesus-focused. And sometimes it's being infected by fear or worry or what we see or anxiety or the bank balance. It's being infected by so many different things. And God says, no, because perfect love casts out all fear. Let me fill you up with more love again, and then you might give in a different way. A lot of times I've give, not in a reckless way, but I've give when it didn't make any sense, because I knew God was on it, because I felt the Spirit on it, because I just knew the Holy Spirit was on this. I knew God's called me to do this. And even when I didn't, I matched it up with what the Word said, and God already told me to go, so I didn't really need to get a feeling, and I didn't need to get a word, because he'd already given me a word. He said, go. Go into all the world. Go and make a difference. Go and help the poor. We read it right at the beginning. Go and work with the poor. Go and help those in need. Go and work with the widows. Go and work with the orphans. Go and make a difference. So I don't always need a word. I've already got the word. I just need to read it, and then I need to receive it, and then I need to go. And God has called us to go. And as we go, what do? We go in faith and we give. And of course, the third one, we could do the heart, we could do the head, but let's wrap it all together in the right way, which is faith. And this morning, I want us to give in faith because we know what the Lord has done. I want to give you a powerful analogy. The Bible writers used it many times. And it says this, that we are vessels. That's all we are. We are broken vessels. Or other translations would say broken jars of clay. And God is the potter. And he puts us on the potter's wheel and he molds us and he crafts us. And when we come to him, we're just so broken. It's like we couldn't carry anything. We couldn't hold anything. We couldn't do anything. And then he restores us. And he starts to fix the cracks in our jars. And he starts to fix us. And instead of being broken vessels, we start to become restored vessels. But here's what the Lord does next. He doesn't then change us from a vessel to something else. What does he do? He says, now I will fill you full of my presence, full of my grace, full of my mercy, full of my love. In other words, you're going to be a carrier of me. And so when we give, what are we actually doing? We're not giving from the side walls of our jar. I mean, nobody wants a piece of clay. What they want is what's inside the jar. And when we give, that's what we're given from. And this should be good news this morning because there are times when we can recognize our brokenness because the Lord doesn't give us a brand new jar. He just restores that jar. And so there's times when we see the cracks and we see the scars. And then the old enemy can come and say, well, who are you to give? Who are you to help? Who are you to disciple? Who are you to pray? I mean, you're far worse than them. Look what you're going through. And he starts to reflect what we're going through in the mirror. He starts to reflect what we're going through in our minds. It's all we start to think about. It's like, oh, I want to give. I want to help. I want to do this. But you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I'm facing. You don't know what I'm doing right now. And the Lord says this morning, I know exactly what I'm doing. The scars are always there. You can see the cracks always there. But trust me, I'm working past that. And I'm not asking you to give from the brokenness. I'm asking you to give from the inside. And what's on the inside of us but the Holy Spirit? The Lord Jesus. He has filled us to overflowing, and he is the one that's on the inside. And so when we're talking about giving this morning, we're not giving from ourselves. It's impossible. Nobody wants a jar. Nobody wants a broken vessel. Everybody wants what's inside of that. And again, you can't give if you're empty, so you've got to ask the Lord to fill you. But he is faithful to fill you and fill you and fill you and fill you. But we got to keep giving and giving and giving. And as we do, he's faithful to fill us. And so this morning, God is saying, don't worry about what the outside looks like. Don't worry about what you're facing. Those things are real. Of course they are. He's working on them. Cast them onto him. But don't let it stop your giving in the midst of that, because there's something amazing when we're broken, and as we give, it brings healing and it brings restoration all the more, and usually speedier and quicker than we can believe or imagine. God is amazing. Our giving source is vital this morning. We're either giving from ourselves, which means then we have every reason not to give because we don't have enough. Or we're given from him, which means we have no reasons not to give. We have every reason to give then. If we're given from him, we have every reason to give because he has blessed us with all the things that we need. And everything that we need, he has provided. And everything we needed, he has supplied. And so this morning, we are given from him. I want us to read 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. 7 and 8. We're going to read this one together. Remember this. It's always good when you read that because God's trying to get our attention and say, come on, remember these things. Catch a grip of these things. This is good stuff. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Wow. What a set of verses. God says, it's not a negative to say, hey, I see that you're giving poorly, step it up. It's actually an encouragement to say, hey, if you sow sparingly, then you're going to reap sparingly. But if you start to sow above and beyond, watch the harvest that you're going to reap. It is going to be incredible. And then, of course, God finishes with verse 8 to say, hey, I am the one that supplies all of this. In fact, all we're doing as people of God is being good stewards. We're simply saying, God, you've blessed me with so much. Now, how can I wisely give that away? How can I, with the right heart, with the right compassion, with the right life, with the right love, give that stuff away? My only goal in life should be to give, not to keep. That should be it. As Christians this morning, church, our only goal in life should be, how can I give this thing away? How can I give it away? It should not be to keep. We have been told we should be keeping, because that's what wise people do. No, good stewards know this, that if their source keeps supplying, then we're able to keep on giving, because that's what keeps us alive. Any business, let's take it to business, any business that doesn't keep selling is ultimately closing down, because they're not going to exist. They're going to fail to exist for what they were called to, which was to be a benefit to those around them. And so if they stop selling, then they might as well close down, because the supplier could be all good, but if he's not selling or we're not selling anything, we've no need to ask the supplier for more. And church, this morning, we've got to understand we have a perfect supplier. And he's saying, keep on giving. And as you keep on giving, I'll keep on supplying. It's the way it's supposed to work. So we've got to keep giving. And we've got to give in love. And we've got to give through him. And as we do, God is able to do it. God is serious about giving. He's saying, I want you to take it up a notch. And I want you to realize that if you give, you're not just giving the practical stuff, but you're actually giving in faith every single time. And you're giving me away every single time. Think about this for a moment this morning, church. As we go to give our hampers, or as we went to do I Heart Armada this summer, we always said, we know that the grass is going to grow again. We know. We're going to cut it down. It's going to grow again. And people say, well, what's the point? Because here's the point. We're not cutting grass. That just happens to be what we're doing. We're giving to the kingdom of God. We're going out there and we're giving love. Because the verse that holds us to it is from 1 John, where it tells us you've got to give through actions of love, not just by words and by what you say, but what you do is what really translates to the world around us. So when we go to give and we go to cut grass or we go to give hampers this Christmas, I want to assure you that we do get some short-term gains there, because we see people's faces and we're like, wow, you're giving us food and it's free? Wow, that's amazing. I remember last Christmas we go across the road to families that we weren't even aware of, and we went to one family. They had just moved in. They hadn't any time to get anything. They had no money to get anything. And we turned up with this perfect bag with meat, with potatoes, with everything. It was amazing. It blew them away. Now, have we seen that person get saved yet, or them come to the church yet? No. But are we doing everything because we have to see it? Or are we doing things by faith because we're trusting God that we're called to give? Remember, Jesus laid down his life on the cross knowing that not everyone would come to him, but he did it anyway. So was he an unwise giver, or was he an incredible giver? I tell you this, God is the wisest man you're ever likely to meet, Jesus. He's just the wisest. And he knew exactly what he was doing, but he says this, love is worth it. Love is worth it because of who it's about, because of people. And Jesus laid down his life on the cross because you were worth it, because he decided people are worth it. And church, this morning, when we give because he's already told us it's good to give. And when we give because he's already told us that people are worthy and people are worth it, because he proved it by laying down his life. And so as we go and just give a simple hamper, who's to say that later on down the line, we don't meet that person and they go, do you know what really changed me? You know what really grabbed my heart? You know what really drew me back to God? You know what really made me search out, is there a God? Because these random people turned up at my door and gave me a bag of food, and it blew me away. You just never know. You just never know what that can achieve. This couple of weeks ago, I got a great email. Get a lot of bad emails, get a lot of spam emails, but this one was a good email. I got this email, and it was from the Philippines, and it was from a group of missionaries or a couple that were out there. They're from Balamina originally, and they said, hey, we just want to let you know that a team of YWAM came to us just a few weeks ago. They said that you had been to visit them years ago, and as a result, that's the main reason why this girl decided to join the ministry and become a full-time missionary for God, because people from Vibe, from Northern Ireland, which she'd never heard of before, turned up on her island for 3 years in a row and told them all about Jesus and inspired them and encouraged them. And I just want to send you an email from Northern Philippines to tell you that you're having an effect all around the world. I'm like, what? That is amazing. Now, is that about us? No, that's all about him. What's the number one thing that people tell us when we go on missions? What's the point? You could stay at home. You could do this. You could do that. Don't waste all that money over there. I remember at the time, 2015, when we went, we had just bought this building. We had to fix it all up. We needed every penny we had. And people were going, why are you still going on missions? Why are you still going on missions? Church, I want to reveal something today. Is that our giving is not because we feel like it or because it's a good idea. It's our actual identity. We can't not but give. Could you imagine a God that wouldn't give? He would fail to be God, because he would fail to be love. Could you imagine a Christian that doesn't give everything? He would fail to be a Christ-like Christian. He would fail to be a Christ-like follower. It just wouldn't make any sense. And so a world full of people that don't give means that they must have no idea of God. But a world full of Christians, or a world that has Christians in them that don't give, means they must have no idea of God. Because God is all about love. He's all about giving. And church, this morning, our number one goal in life should be give. How do I give this good news away? How do I make a difference in somebody's life? How can I help someone here? How can I help somebody there? I am called to give in every way and in every form. Not because it's a good idea, because it's actually my identity. And the moment I stop giving is the moment the enemy starts to win against me and he starts to make me think I'm not a child of God. But as a child of God, I give because there is a vast supply. There is no shortage in the supply chain from heaven to me. There is none from heaven to you. There is no shortage. So when the enemy comes to try to strike fear in your heart and say, you can't give that because you'll have nothing left. You can't give this because they won't even be grateful. You can't give this because of that. The Lord says, no, I didn't do it. You don't need to do it. There is a vast supply coming from heaven above into your heart all of the time. But don't hold it all to yourself. Give it away. What does our giving look like this morning? What does our giving look like in terms of how God gives? God give radically and abundantly all of the time. Let me read a couple of verses as we're getting ready to finish. Proverbs 11:24 says this, one gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Listen to that. The one who gives only grows all the richer. The one who holds tight because they feel they need to, or because they want to, or because of whatever other attitude there is, they start to be in want all of the time. But when we give from a vast supply. We give because of God's idea. John 10:10, incredible verse for us, an incredible verse in general. It says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life. And that you may have it abundantly. Our God doesn't just give a tiny bit or just enough. He always gives more than enough. What are we doing with all that he has given us? What are we doing with how God has generously blessed us? Generously blessed us. You see, giving is deep this morning. It's actually our identity. It's actually connected to our purpose. Can I read Matthew 20:28 to you? It says this. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You see, we're all after our purpose. We're all after this idea that we read earlier on. What did we read? Let me read it again to you. What we're really after is verse 8 of 2 Corinthians 9. And God is able to bless you abundantly. God, I need you to bless me abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. That's what all of us want. That's what I want. I assure you, that's what you want. Of course it is. But I tell you what we don't want. We don't really want 6 and 7. We don't really want the first part. But the first part unlocks the second part. Because as we are blessing, we get blessed. We bless because we have been blessed. We give from that heart every single time. Church, this morning, if we want to have want in our life, don't give. If you want to have more than enough, give in every way and in every form. And so what I mean by that this morning, well, I can't give you every example under the sun, but I can suggest a few things. I can suggest people in the room that maybe you need to give some time to. I can suggest people in your life that you need to give more time to. I can suggest causes that you need to invest in. I mean, there's a great cause next door. I'm not pressurizing you into it, but it's something far bigger than me. So far be it from me to hold it from you. It's a kingdom thing. It's a God thing. Invest wisely with all that God has given you. What about your attitude? What about your prayer times? What about your reading times? Keep giving. What about even just giving more to God? And watch as you give more to him, how he continues to transform you. See, we've got to realize that our giving is connected to our purpose and is connected to our transformation. Jesus could never have been who he was. He could never have fulfilled his purpose unless he stepped into his giving, his giving, his giving. He said, I didn't come to be served. That's what I deserved. I deserve to be served because I'm the king above all kings. There's nobody greater than me. None of us here, unfortunately, are the king of all kings. And so therefore, none of us deserve to be served. But the Lord is saying this morning, in the perfect example that I showed you, could you catch a glimpse of it? Lay down all of your thoughts. Lay down all of your ideas. Lay down all of your wisdom. Lay down all of your feelings. And just simply be me. Be the hands and feet that the world needs. And give. Give the best that you have. Remember this. We're all trying to get away with what's the least that I could give. What's the least that I could give but still be good? Sometimes we do that. We try to make it even better. You know, we get religious about it. What's the least I could give but still be God? You know, give me a number, Lord, but make sure it's low. Don't make sure it's not too high. Or, Lord, give me some time, but not too much because, you know, I've got to get other things. And we say this and we say that. How many times in the past have I said, well, I can't go to help this person because I've got to do this instead? I'm so glad that Jesus didn't do that for me. I'm so glad that he didn't start weighing things up and going, you know what, I'm not going to come for that guy because he's not worth it and having so much greater. I'm so glad that he said, you know what, forget it. The scales don't matter here. Wipe the scales out. It's love. If we started putting our kids on scales, trust me on this one, it would be tipped every single time. And it wouldn't be in favor of the kids. It would be in favor of the other. Leave them alone. They don't deserve it. They shouldn't have this. They shouldn't have that. We may as well not even have kids if it's going to be like that. We may not even bother. And God says this morning as Christians, if we're putting everything on the balances, if we're putting everything on the scales when it comes to giving, then we've missed the point of love. Because God didn't do that, and neither should we. Church, this morning we've got to rise up in our giving. And I'm going to encourage you, it's got to increase. Our giving has got to increase in every single form and in every single way. Because God says, I want you to become more like me every single day. Every single day. I want you to be an imitator of me in every way. And that means give, 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 give. He never stopped giving. Let me tell him he stopped giving. Even then, sleeping. He was probably praying, sleeping. I didn't know what he was doing, but he was incredible. And even when he pulled away from the crowds, what was he doing then? He was spending time with his Father. He was giving to his Father because he loved his Father. But here's the beauty about giving. You'll always receive from him. God is so good. He is so rich. He has every supply. He has everything you need. And everything you give in the right heart and the right spirit, watch how the Lord will supply everything you have need of. Church, this morning, we should not be reluctant in our giving. We should be vast. We should be outrageous. We should be generous. We should be abundant because it's a representation of how vast and how generous and how abundant the Lord has been to me. I do not want to be a swamp. I want to be a holding pond. I'm going to finish with this story. I love, if you're like me, I like documentaries. I love Gold Rush. It's the number one thing I love. I love gold. I just love gold. I think it's amazing. I've got gold fever. But this is the story of Gold Rush. It's that they spend so much money to get this gold because they think it's worth it. But there's a really important element of the gold, and that is this, that they go to the ground, they look for the ground, they test the ground, they chance it, they say, hey, maybe it's worth digging. And then they spend hundreds of thousands of dollars just trying, because up in northern Canada, Yukon direction, Alaska direction, and they go and they spend forever just trying to get rid of the dirt. And the dirt's like loads. It's like feet, 20 feet, could be 30 feet, could be 40 feet at times, which is just ridiculous. And they said, you know what? It's worth getting rid of all of that because underneath there's gold. And it's precious and it's worth it. Now, they go for a chance of it. Now, they're convinced they're going to get it. But they know ultimately it's just a chance. They know ultimately they could be bust. Sometimes it shows you in the series when you watch as much as I've watched it, you'll realize every part of it. And every now and again, it'll show you the scrapyards. And trust me, the scrapyards are more full than the gold mine sites. Because so many people have come to get gold, but they haven't had what it took to keep on going. In other words, they can only give so much. But those that can give more, they're going to reap a rich supply. They're going to reap a rich reward. And then it talks about the last part of the process where you get the gold out of the ground and it's still stuck to all the mud. It still doesn't look like gold. You can maybe see a fleck or you can see a flake, but it's not right yet. We need to get all of it separated. We need to get all of it dislodged from the muck and the mess and from the rocks and all of that stuff. And eventually what they do is they bring it to a wash plant and they're going to wash the gold. But even that is a precarious contraption, and it can fail, and doesn't matter how much they spend on it, it seems to always break. But they keep going. They just keep giving. They keep giving. But there's one really important element of it, and it's water. It's water. And what they do is they say, look, there's no point us putting a pump in the river over there and pumping it directly into the plant. We're going to run out. What we're going to have to do is we're going to have to dig, and they called it a holding pond. Big hole in the ground. They put the inlet of water in, and then they put the outlet of water into the machine. And they say, that's what's going to keep us full. Because even when we're given more than we should, it'll only drain the pond a wee bit, and it'll give enough time for the inlet to fill us back up again. And that's the way it works. Because if they put it direct, you know what would happen? They'd run out. They'd be chugging. It just couldn't keep up with the demand of the water the machine needs. Because here's the thing, what I've realized. The world needs a lot of giving. The world needs a lot of love. Needs far more love than we can give. But God has designed us. Remember what he's designed us as. Vessels. Vessels. That's what he has designed us as. Now, before he came, we were just all over the place. We were trying for everything to fill us. We were trying for everything to restore us, but it wouldn't work. No matter how we tried, we couldn't restore the cracks. We couldn't restore the brokenness. No matter what we tried, we couldn't fill us. We tried all sorts of things, relationships, addictions. We tried all sorts of things, love in every form, but it would not work because we kept leaking and it kept running out and it was never good enough because the world's always expecting more, always expecting more. But church, this morning, we have an incredible God who has not only taken us as broken jars of clay and restored us, but now he fills us to overflow. And we are holding ponds. That's what we are. You maybe think you're a beautiful one. Maybe you like to think of that, but really you're just a holding pond. And the goal of your life is to pour out, to give away, to give away, to give away. And here's the beauty of the holding pond. Even when you have to give more than you can possibly give, and you give it anyway because of love, and it starts to drain, don't worry. There is a vast supply coming into that holding pond. But church, this morning, it only stays fresh and it only works and the filling only keeps coming in as we give away. As soon as we move that giving away, then suddenly it doesn't matter about the inlet because it gets backed up because there's nothing going out, nothing going out, nothing going out. And that water that's so fresh, that water that's able to find the most precious things in the world, that water that's able to save people's souls, that water that's able to transform people from death to life, suddenly becomes stale and no good. And then you might as well throw it away. What does Matthew, I think it's 5:6 tell us? That salt, if it loses its saltiness, you might as well throw it away. It's of no good, if it's no value, it's no purpose, it is no, if we can't do anything. Church, this morning, we are designed to hold the water of God. We are designed to hold the love of God. We're designed to be the people of God. And as the people of God, we give, 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 give. That is the goal of our lives. Can we stand together? We're going to pray.